This episode of the Vermont Conversation has support from Vital. Did you know 98.9% of Vermonters share health data with their providers through the independent nonprofit Vital? When you visit participating healthcare providers in Vermont, your record is updated. It's there where you need it, all across the state, whether you're at your primary care office, an emergency room, or the hospital. To learn more about the benefits and your options, visit Vital at vital.net.
I just hope that in the end, we're a country that decides to make sure our people are cared for rather than giving money to the highest wealth individuals in this country through tax breaks.
Welcome to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. Hunger stalks the Green Mountains like a silent predator, unnoticed by those who don't feel it. 2 out of 5 people in Vermont experience hunger, according to Hunger Free Vermont, and the problem may soon get much worse. The Trump administration has proposed sweeping cuts to SNAP, also known as food stamps, the nation's largest food assistance program. The Senate is currently considering the bill passed by the House that includes billions of dollars in cuts to SNAP and Medicaid. Up to 13,000 Vermonters may have their food assistance reduced or eliminated if the Senate approves the cuts. Legal immigrants, including refugees and asylum applicants, will no longer be eligible for food benefits, according to Ivy Enoch of Hunger Free Vermont. To find out what this means to the people who will be directly affected by the potential cuts, I visited the largest free food shelf in central Vermont, located at Capstone Community Action in Barrie. And full disclosure, my wife was a former executive director of Capstone. The food shelf is open 3 days a week. When I visited, a steady stream of people of all ages came through the doors, quietly but gratefully filling grocery bags of food. Volunteers buzzed about helping those who had come. Emmanuel Soumillon runs Capstone's food shelf. I asked her to tell me who the food shelf serves.
We accept everyone that needs food, but most of the people we serve obviously are people who are in deep poverty. So that's, below or just slightly at the level of poverty, the national level of poverty. So like they make $1,000 a month, and then they sometimes they make zero. People who are homeless also we serve. People who live in hotels, people who live in shelters. So it's just everybody. It's a huge array of people.
How many people use the pantry?
A lot. It's in the thousands. We get about, I'd say between 800 and 1,000 visits a month.
Are you able to keep up with the demand?
Not really. So what happens is the first half of the month, we get a lot less visits from people because of the SNAP program, the Three Squares of Vermont program. This is what it's called. The SNAP is the federal program, and Three Squares is the name that we gave it in Vermont, and it's administered by the state of Vermont. They have a certain amount of money. I think it's like around $290, the maximum you can actually receive for SNAP, for Three Squares. And then, by mid-month, they are totally out of that income or that.
$390, and that's for an individual, say who that's for.
$290, yeah, for a family. And that's the maximum. You could get as little as $2 or
$3. A day. So $290 for a family, like a family of four.
Yeah.
So this is bare subsistence.
Yes, it's very, very little. It doesn't go far, especially with the prices at the grocery store nowadays. We had like a surge in prices in eggs, for example, during the last part of winter. And people were desperate for eggs, and the prices were so high, I actually had to reduce the amount of eggs I purchased. And that just,
And
was
just to be clear, you have to purchase the food that you give away.
some of it, yeah. So basically, what happens is the food bank is our main supplier, the Vermont Food Bank, which is an extraordinary partner that we have. I have to say that without them, we could not possibly be doing that. And so they have like a list of items that we purchase from. A program that we go on, and we choose however many of this particular items we want to have in the pantry, depending on what the demand is like. Right now, I'm actually purchasing a lot of ready-to-eat food that is for the unhoused population.
Because
And
they can't cook.
right. So I purchase a lot of that because they don't even have a microwave. So even the meals that we make in the kitchen, they don't go to them. Those go mostly to people who live in hotels where they have a microwave and they can warm up like a warm meal. So I purchase a lot, and it's very expensive, that ready-to-eat food.
Let me ask you, you say that you can't actually keep up with the demand. So what happens? Do people come and they're just empty shelves at the food pantry?
So by mid-month, the shelves are fairly empty. We get so I'm it's tricky because it's tricky to say it's completely empty, because we do have also the TFAP program, which is the emergency food program that the federal government is like it comes from the Farm Bill.
This
So we
is
get
canned
the
food that you're.
Yes, canned and frozen. So this month we received some chicken and some frozen strawberries from that program.
What is the change in demand that you're seeing at CAPS at the food pantry?
It's increasing. So the number of visits are increasing. We normally like initially only allowed people to come twice a month to resupply themselves. And now I've like been differentiating between people's needs. People who are unhoused, homeless, outdoors mostly, I let them come every day if they want to, because they tend to take a lot less.
So we are hearing that thousands of Vermonters may lose their SNAP benefits or have those benefits reduced or have work requirements. So you end up seeing the result of that. What is that going to mean for?
That's going to mean another surge of people who are going to come here. And that's going to mean that I'm going to have more food delivered if I can afford it.
What is your biggest concern right now, particularly as we hear about the possibility of cuts?
So the biggest concern I have is that we're not going to have enough food. And we're not going to have enough food, and we're going to see a surge of people. So the amount of work that's going to be demanded of me and my team of volunteers is going to increase. I have right now 30 volunteers rotating through the food pantry on a weekly basis. It's really sad, and we're just going to run out of money. That's just it.
Stephanie and Anthony Doyle, a young couple from Berlin, Vermont, were sitting in the lobby of Capstone waiting for their turn to enter the food shelf. I asked Stephanie what brought her there.
Well, basically, me and my husband were both on disability, and we use SNAP normally, but it just doesn't go far enough. So we go to the food shelf sometimes just to kind of round everything out, because we have a 13-year-old daughter, and sometimes it just doesn't go far enough. So yeah, we just come in here every once in a while when our food starts to get low, and a lot of the time it's like near the end of the month, when your regular like food money runs out. I find that even if you're being careful with the amount of food money they give you, it's just not quite enough. So that's the reason why we come in. Yeah, if you want to like eat healthily, a lot of the time you just can't afford getting like fruits and vegetables and all that stuff that you need to do to be healthy. And like, especially when you have a child that you're taking care of, it just, it runs out really fast. And what's great about the food bank is that they give you healthy food. And you're able to get those fruits and vegetables that you're not necessarily able to get. So you can use the food stamps for like staple items that you can't get at the food bank. And then, you use the food bank to just kind of, I don't know, just kind of round out the meals. So that way it's not unbalanced and stuff. Cause I worry about that a lot. Like with my daughter's education, I want her to be fueled really well in school so that she has a chance to, you know, thrive and, get a good education, just like all of the other kids who have more. So yeah.
How important is this food assistance in your family's life, both SNAP and the food shelf, and what would it mean if those things weren't available?
Oh, I couldn't imagine if the things were not available. Actually, when we were living in Indiana, a lot of the time, there were some food shelves out there, but they weren't nearly able to help you as much. Like it was really limited, and a lot of the time you couldn't get to the food shelf. Like there was no transportation, so if you couldn't get there, then you were just stuck and you didn't have food. Luckily, when we were there, we were able to have transportation, but the transportation that we were provided was through our families. And some people just didn't have that. So some people literally just go without food at the end of the month when their food money runs out. And fortunately for us, we never really had that happen to us personally, but I do know people that did happen to. And if we didn't have what we have today, and if we didn't have the food shelves, then we would be going hungry. Around after about 3 weeks, the money's gone. If you don't have the food shelf, and you would be scrambling, using Social Security money that needs to be used on other things, like just to have basic toiletries and stuff like that. You would have to try to choose between those things that you need and getting food. So it would be a huge problem. And some people are going through that. And I feel really privileged and lucky every time I go in here. There's been a couple of times when I've actually cried when I came home because they had like snacks at the food banks for my daughter that I would never be able to get here. And she can go to school and like have like a snack that the other kids normally have. And she doesn't feel like she's left out, and like she's not able to have the things that the other kids have. So it's really been really great since we moved here to Vermont, and it's really helped us a lot. We're really privileged.
I see you nodding your head. What you want?
I agree with everything she says.
Yeah,
I mean, she summed it up. Yeah, that's it.
We're hearing, you know, in the news about cutbacks to all kinds of services and possibly, you know, some of the food assistance. What do you want people to know about the importance of these programs to you and your family and to others?
When you feel like something that you rely on might possibly be taken away from you, especially when you have a family you're taking care of, it's terrifying to like think that maybe sometime in the near future, you know, you're gonna have to decide between basic necessities and food. I mean, and that's like a nightmare that a lot of people have to go through all around the world. And the USA is supposed to be a place where this doesn't happen, and it shouldn't be happening anywhere, but it is happening, and it's happening everywhere all around the world, and it's a huge injustice. And I feel like with humanity, we need to be making progress towards everyone having everything that they need, because the truth is just that we do have the resources for everyone to have everything that they need. And the fact that some people are holding out because they're afraid of not having stuff for themselves, I mean, it's really, really horrible all the way around. But I think that if everybody just banded together and they stood up for what they believe in, which is that nobody should be left behind and everybody should have everything that they need, that the world would be so much better. And there are people out here that are disabled and have like lots of things that they're dealing with, and it's not their fault at all. And I think that it can be easy for some people to kind of close the curtain and say, oh, well, that's not happening to me. But it can happen to you, and it can happen to you really, really fast. And people need to recognize that everybody matters. And people that are poor, they matter just as much as everybody else, and everybody's struggling.
Back in Capstone's food pantry, I met two volunteers, Anita Ristow and Leslie Waltz, both retired nurses from Barrie. I asked them what they were doing. They paused from cutting cantaloupes to talk with me.
Well, today we're stocking up. We have a lot of vegetables and even fruits today, a lot of meats, so we're pretty well stocked today.
What do you observe about the role that the food shelf plays here in the community?
I think it's so important. I mean, people come in, they're so thankful for what we have. And even when we don't have much, they will say anything helps. And they always thank us. They're always grateful. And it makes us feel good as well to be useful and to help them out, because so many of them are needy. We see all kinds of people, elderly people, handicapped people, young people with children. Everyone is hurting.
What kind of work did you work outside the home prior to this?
Well, I'm a professor emeritus from Norwich University in nursing. And then I was the executive director of the State Board of Nursing. So that's what I did. That was my career.
So helping people is kind of in your DNA.
I was just going to say, so it comes naturally to want to help people.
Leslie, how long have you been a volunteer here at Capstone?
About a year. Anita and I started together, and we're still at it.
What did you do prior in your working life?
I was a public health nurse for a while, and then went to school nursing, and that was my major career right here in Barrie.
What school were you a nurse?
Barrie City Elementary and Middle School.
So that's an interesting perspective, because you really have a very up-close view of the community. And what did you see in terms of the needs of the children you worked with?
Oh, absolutely, that lunch is important, and free breakfast. And when it's free for everyone, it makes it easier for more people participate. And even the kids with more of an income behind them eat the breakfast and have a better day that way.
What happens if there's sort of only some people get the free meals?
Oh, then it's stigmatized. And the kids who really need it don't get it, because they'd rather starve than be labeled.
What are you seeing in your own community in terms of the needs and in terms of who is coming in here, you're interacting with the people, the patrons of the food shelf?
Well, it's pretty much the same as what Anita said. People of all ages, not all incomes, but all of them are needing, and they're needing food, and they're suffering from that. And they're always glad to see us, glad to come, no matter how much or how little we've got here. They're grateful.
We are hearing about impending cuts to food stamps and such. What are you concerned about? And Anita, looks like you've got an answer.
I'm very concerned.
So am I.
I mean, if that happens, I don't know what's going to happen to these people that are dependent on the food shelf here. I mean, many of them don't have a place to live. They're living out of their cars. We're living in motels. It's essential. It can't be cut. Not if we have a heart.
Leslie, what are your thoughts?
I'm appalled to think of cuts. There are times right now when things get scarce here at the food shelf, and if more is cut, more people are going to be cut, and they're going to be hungry.
What do you think we should be doing that we're not doing to help people?
Oh, I have a million things. I think that it would be wonderful if people didn't need us. So if they got a living wage, housing first. When people are homeless, they need a home. And once they have a home, they can move on to take care of their other needs.
Anita, any thoughts on what we should be doing that we're not?
Well, we obviously have to continue to provide.
Absolutely.
This is just essential. And it's going to get worse, I think, with the cuts. And we all expect that the cuts are coming.
Yep.
And I really don't know what we're going to do. Because this isn't going away. People are still going to be hungry.
And there's more of a need now.
Right.
We're getting more and more people coming in.
Finally, I spoke with Liz Scharf, the Director of Community Economic Development and Food Security at Capstone Community Action. I asked her what cuts the organization is bracing for and what cuts have already occurred and what she sees ahead.
We've already at Capstone lost two funds that support the that give us money to buy food from the Vermont Food Bank. So we're a network partner of the Vermont Food Bank, and we buy highly subsidized food from the Vermont Food Bank. And we've already lost about $35,000 worth of benefits. $20,000 was a grant that we've had over the last couple of years that we purchase vegetables from local farms. 100% of the money goes to the farm. It doesn't go to any administration for the agency. So we're literally buying food from a farm and benefiting the farmer as well as the folks who use our food shelf. That money is no longer available. That was called the Local Foods Procurement Grant through the USDA. That's been cut. And then we have another grant that has been around for many years that reimburses us for the food that we purchase through the food bank. And that comes out to about $15,000 a year that we can apply to get reimbursed, and that money has been cut. So what that means is that we really just end up having to rely on private donors and the philanthropic community to help us pay for food for our community members.
Is that realistic to think that those funds, philanthropic and just your donors, can fill the gap?
No, it's not. I mean, we're going to have to do some cuts. You know, I'm already exploring whether those cuts are changes to the hours that we offer, to the number of times people can come, how much food they can take. I mean, you really try to make your food shelf a place that's a dignified place to visit, and, you know, people can choose their own foods. I would hate it to be where, you know, we have to tell people what they can take or how much they can take. or that we have to turn people away. But the reality is that I don't believe that there's enough for all of our programs. So yeah, maybe you could cover the food costs through philanthropic donations. But what about all the other programs and cuts, like healthcare, for example? We don't have healthcare as a service here, but you're not going to be able to make up for the cuts in the federal government through charity.
What concerns you most about the cuts that you're hearing are coming?
I think it really does put the pressure on the nonprofit communities who are already facing serious pressure in federal cuts if they, you know, rely on federal grants. I see more homelessness. I see, or unhoused people. I see an increase in the use of people utilizing food shelves. I see people getting sick because they don't have health care or they can't afford to go to the doctor. I try not to think too far ahead because a lot of this hasn't come to fruition. It's a lot of, there's some speculation still. And I think, I just hope that in the end, we're a country that decides to make sure our people are cared for rather than giving money to the highest wealth individuals in this country through tax breaks.
That was Liz Scharf from Capstone Community Action in Barrie, Vermont. And before that, we heard from volunteers and patrons with Central Vermont's largest food shelf. That does it for this week's Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. Thanks so much for listening.